Good evening, everyone. I want to first begin Brishus Demar Dasra to thank Rabbi Leiter for inviting me here. And how wonderful it is to see such a beautiful community. I grew up not too far from here in East Brunswick, New Jersey. And how happy I am that my mother is here. If I didn't have enough pressure, my mother is here. Baruch Hashem to... So you allowed me to fulfill two mitzvos. Number one, the mitzvah of teaching Torah. And number two, Baruch Hashem, the mitzvah of Kibbud Eiv, of being able to spend a little bit of time with my mother on Hanukkah. So for that, I'm incredibly indebted to Rabbi Leiter and to this kehila. But it's so beautiful to come and to see such a warm and vibrant kehila. You could often, I always feel when you walk into shuls, you feel a certain energy right when you walk in the door. And that energy often is contained in the hadras panim, just in the facial expressions of the people who are the yoshvei kehila, who are the members of the congregation. And to walk into a beautiful shul like this, where you feel such a warmth, such a love, such an achdus. You know, I'm privileged, thank God, to live in a very large Jewish community. And I always say to my children who are growing up in a very large Jewish community that you're missing something. Meaning, it's beautiful to live in a large Jewish community with many shuls. You know, this way, if you get angry at someone, there's always somewhere else to daven. You have a falling out with this principle, there's always somewhere else to go. But there is something beautiful about being small. And there's something beautiful about being necessary. And there's something beautiful about being counted. And there's something beautiful that if you don't show up to whatever it is, that people will notice that you're missing. There's a beautiful warmth, there's a beautiful unity. There's a beautiful Ava within the walls of this sacred place. I'm sure it's in no small measure due to your Rav, but I'm sure that each of you contribute to that in your own way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just bless all of you, that you should continue in your beautiful journeys, you should continue in your beautiful Avoda, and Halavai, the warmth and the love and the unity of this Pesach Nesses should continue to amplify in the years to come. Amen. That's not the speech. That's not the speech. You know, Hanukkah is an exceptionally meaningful time. And I always find that the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the beauty of Judaism in general, is that there's something for everyone. You know, when we light the Hanukkah candles in our house, I always try to tell my children something unique about Hanukkah, something that they didn't hear before, some idea that they could focus on as we're lighting the menorah, as we're kindling the lights. So this year it happens to be I came across on Erev Hanukkah an incredible and exceptional idea. It's not our topic for tonight, but I'll tell it to you just in a very superficial way. There's a concept brought down by the Rokeach, one of the early commentaries. Rabbi Lazar Rokeach lived in Worms in the 1100s. He was actually the Rav of the town of Worms. Worms was one of the communities that was virtually wiped out during the First Crusade. And Rabbi Lazar of Worms says something amazing. He explains that the Hanukkah candles are reminiscent of the first light of creation. That we know the Torah tells us. It's almost over. It's almost over. I promise. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light on the first day. But then HaKadosh, then it says on the fourth day of creation, third day of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the luminaries. The sun, the moon, and the stars. So the Talmud tries to understand which day is it. Did God create light on the first day or on a subsequent day? And the Rokeach actually quotes a passage from the Jerusalem Talmud that explains that in fact God created light the first day. But that light was so pure. That light was so luminescent. That light was too holy for this world. And so God removed it from this world and saves it for the righteous, la'asid lavo. Saves it for the righteous for the future. Whether the future means the afterlife, whether the future means messianic era, the point is it was removed. But there's an amazing passage in the Jerusalem Talmud. And the Jerusalem Talmud says that that original light shined forth for 36 hours. For 36 hours. And the Rokeach says, the 36 hours of that the first light shined correspond to the Lamed Vav Neros, to the 36 candles. So you'll do your higher math, and you'll add 8 plus 7 plus 6 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1. Take a wild guess how much that comes out to. 36. And therefore says the Rokeach that the beauty of the Neros Hanukkah, the beauty of the Hanukkah candles, is that they give us a glimpse into that first light. Into that original light. That the luminescent holiness of the Neros Hanukkah is not an illuminatory luminescence. but it's a spiritual luminescence. It's the light of creation. It's the light of the first day. So I'm saying this over to my children, feeling so overwhelmed by the enormity of this concept. I look at my youngest daughter, Nechama. I said, Nechama, what do you think about this idea? And she looks back at me and she says, am I getting a present tonight? So Hanukkah holds meaning for different people in different ways. Some people feel drawn to the rokeach. Some people feel drawn to the latkes. Other people feel drawn to the presents. But the truth is, the beauty in Yiddishkeit is that there is something for everyone. And when one digs deep down into any aspect of our Judaism, one will find that it is so infused with such incredible and overwhelming meaning. And I want to share with you one of these ideas this evening. And it's actually something that the Rav alluded to. There are many details. Interestingly enough, as opposed to Purim, the holiday of Purim, which gets its own tractate, the tractate of Megillah, Hanukkah does not get its own tractate. Hanukkah is mentioned in a couple of pages in Maseches Shabbos. And there the Gemara goes through all of the different details regarding Hanukkah. Where to light, when to light, what type of oils you can light with. But for me, I've always been drawn to one particular halachic dispute. To one particular, what we call machlokis, dispute in Jewish law. And it's the one that the Rav alluded to just a few moments ago. You see, do you have a menorah in here?
On the
beam. Oh, right here. Oh, good. Okay, here. So, if this was lit, so you have to imagine something. 1,500 years ago, if you were to walk into the home of two of the greatest sages, Shammai and Hillel, two of the leading sages of their generation, and you were to walk into their homes on the last night of Hanukkah, you would see two dramatically different displays. In Hillel's home, there would be 8 candles that were lit, and in Shammai's home, there would be 1 candle that was lit. Because you see, my friends, there's a fundamental dispute in halacha. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of kindling the Hanukkah menorah? Beis Shammai says, Poches Vaholich. Beis Shammai says, on night number 1, you begin with 8 candles, and each and subsequent night, you remove 1 candle to the point that by night number 8, we are left with only 1 candle. Beis Hillel says, Mosif Vaholich. No. We start on the first night with 1 candle, add on an additional candle every night, so by the 8th night of Hanukkah, we have a total of 8 candles. And the Gemara tries to understand the rationale behind each of the opinions. The particular reasoning is not so necessary right now. Beis Shammai models his performance after the sacrificial service of Sukkot, as opposed to Beis Hillel, who goes ahead and Ma'alin Bakodesh Moridin. In matters of spirituality, we always go up, we don't go down. But the Maharal of Prague asks a very simple question. He says, but what are they really arguing about? You know, sometimes when there are disputes in Jewish law, I want to tell you something very important. People have a big misconception about Jewish law. When I say Jewish law, you say, or you think? Talmud, that's a good one. What else? I heard somebody whisper it. You can't. Right, good. Meaning, often when we think about Jewish law, we think about it as a series of do's and don'ts. Which it's true, halacha, Jewish law, creates for us a system, a behavioral system. But more importantly, it's important to recognize that the rabbis framed the halachic system as a way of not just teaching us do's and don'ts, but as a way of teaching us moral and ethical lessons as well. Embedded within every Jewish law is a behavior, but is also a lesson. So the Maharal of Prague says, I don't understand, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, what are you arguing about? What is at the core of your dispute? Why, Beis Hillel, do you say we go 1 to 8? Why, Beis Shammai, do you say we go 8 to 1? And the Maharal says something absolutely amazing. The Maharal explains that the essence of Hanukkah is a Yom Tov of rededication. What does this mean? So we know historically what it means. The Talmud explains that when the Jews went back, the Maccabim, the Hashmonaim defeated the Syrian Greeks. They went back into the temple. The temple was defiled. The altars were broken. There were idolatrous statues everywhere. There were carcasses of all types of impure animals strewn all about. And the Hashmonaim, those brave Kohanim, those brave priests turned warriors, took back and rededicated the Beis HaMikdash. They went in. You know, my friends, it's important to understand, we often, when it comes to Hanukkah, we often focus on the miracle of the oil. That all they were able to find was one untouched cruse of oil. One pure cruse of oil. But you know, besides the oil that was missing, there was something else that was missing from the temple. What else is missing from the temple? The menorah. The Gemara Maseches Menachos says something dramatically amazing. Think about it, the menorah, you know, if you've ever been to Eretz Yisrael, so you know, again, the menorah, as you walk down to the Kotel, so the Temple Institute created that recreation of the menorah, that, and that's beautiful, that's magnificent, incredible, but even that is not solid gold. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was solid gold. The Greeks took it out. When the Hashmonaim came back, it wasn't just that they couldn't find oil, there was no menorah. And so the Gemara discusses, they took their spears, they tied their spears together, and that was the first Hanukkah menorah. Because the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is about taking that which has become defiled, taking that which has become sullied, taking that which has been divested of holiness, and reconsecrating it, rededicating it, realizing that just because something looks impure does not mean it can't be repurified once again. And says the Maharal something amazing. This is not just true about a temple. It's true about us as well. You know, we're all friends. I know we just met 15 minutes ago, but I feel very close to all of you. So we'll speak openly and honestly. A lot of times we make bad decisions in life. And a lot of times we make significant mistakes. And a lot of times we go down the wrong path, not once, not twice, but multiple times. And sometimes we feel like we've divested ourselves of our holiness. Sometimes we feel like we've divested ourselves of our goodness. Sometimes we feel that we've divested ourselves. I've never given a shir to music in the back. We feel that I can no longer amount to anything. And says the Maharal something amazing. Hanukkah teaches us not just about the ability to rededicate a physical temple, but Hanukkah teaches us about the ability to rededicate the ultimate temple. And the ultimate temple is not a structure you build with wood and bricks. The ultimate temple is not something that is covered in gold. And the ultimate temple is not something that stands in Jerusalem. The ultimate temple, the ultimate mikdash, is right here. The Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Each of us is the most magnificent Beis HaMikdash. Each of us is the most beautiful and magnificent spiritual edifice. Each of us is an incredible repository of holiness. And so yes, sometimes in life, and many, many times in life, we make bad decisions, we go down the wrong path, and we just end up hitting brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. And sometimes that thought goes through my mind and I say to myself, you know what? I'm beyond salvation. Okay, I'll be mediocre at best. I'll be average at best. Me holy? Holiness is not on my card. That's for the rabbis. That's for the other people. But me, I can't be. And Hanukkah teaches us that if the Hashmonaim could take a physical space that was so dramatically defiled and reconsecrate it, then imagine what we could do with ourselves. Then imagine how I could rededicate my sacred space, my neshama, my soul. Imagine what I could do to start again. Imagine how I could re-energize myself in a dramatically holy fashion to accomplish great things in life. And says the Maharal, this leaves us with one fundamental question, which is, how? Now that I know that I have the ability to rededicate myself, now that I know that I have the ability to start again, to rededicate my personal temple, how do you start that process? And herein lies the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, if you want to rededicate, you have to light all 8 candles at first. If you want to rededicate, if you want to re-energize in a spiritual way, you need to make sure that you lay the most perfect and solid foundation. The 8 candles represent perfection. The 8 candles represent wholeness. The 8 candles represent completion. You want to start again? Beis Shammai says, no problem. But you have to start with all 8 candles. You have to start strong. It's the same way if you're building a house. If you're building a house and you decide to cut corners on the foundation. You know what? I know everyone says you need 4 walls and a foundation. I'm pretty sure I could do it with 3. So you'll be moving in with your family pretty quickly. Right? Because at the end of the day, if you skimp on the foundation, the edifice can't stand. Beis Shammai says we have the ability to rededicate ourselves. But the initiative of rededication, of personal rededication, has to start with absolute resolve, has to start with absolute perfection. Comes along Hillel. And Hillel says, my dear friend Shammai, I don't disagree with you at all. Every life initiative should have the strongest of foundations. Every life initiative should start with 8 candles. But you know, my friends, what's the problem if you wait to get all 8 candles burning? You know, there are some people who go through life always waiting for the right moment. People who have a whole list. I'm going to accomplish this, 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 and this. And you ask them when, and the answer is, when the time is right. Well, when is the time going to be right? Is it now? No, now's not right. Why not? Because it's not right. Do you know when it's going to be right? No idea when it's going to be right. But I know it's not now and not in the foreseeable future. But one day, the time will be right and I'll accomplish what I have to accomplish. Hillel says to Shammai, my dear friend Shammai, if you wait to take definitive life action until you can get all 8 candles lit, that will lead to a life of inactivity. Because, my dear friends, there are very few of us that have all 8 candles lit at the beginning of any life initiative. There are very few of us that are operating on all spiritual cylinders all of the time. So instead, Hillel says, I have a counter proposal. My counter proposal is just get started. Just do something. Just light 1 candle. And then something dramatically amazing occurs, which is the moment that you light 1 candle, the moment you take 1 positive spiritual step forward, the moment you do something, you find the energy to keep on kindling. So on the first night, you know, when you look at your menorah the first night, let's be honest, it looks a little bit nebuchy, right? It's got 1 little candle. You see all of those other bulbs are there. There's so much potential. It could generate so much more light. And I've got 1 little nebuchal flame that's burning on the end. But it's something. It's a lot better than the night before. Because the night before there was nothing. And then something amazing happens. Which is the next night, there's another one. And the next night, there's another one. And night after night, I'm able to kindle just 1 more candle. And then, says Hillel, something amazing happens. One day, you look at your personal menorah, and you see all 8 candles burning. One day, you look at your personal menorah, and it is a beautiful picture of spiritual luminescence. One day, you look at your menorah, and you see the incredible results of all of your life activities. This, says the Maharal of Prague, is the fundamental dispute between Shammai and Hillel. They're not just arguing about mechanistic details about how to perform a rabbinic mitzvah of kindling the menorah. They're arguing about life. They're arguing about how do you start again. You know, my friends, the beautiful part of our religion. You know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, we just observed Rosh Chodesh today. And in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we there's an interesting phrase. It says, Roshei Chadoshim La'amcha Nasato. God, you have given us Roshei Chadoshim. Rosh Chodesh is beginning of the month. Roshei Chadoshim is plural. You have given us beginnings of new months. And ask the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, I don't understand. Why doesn't it just say it in the singular? Rosh Chodesh La'amcha Nasato. You gave us Rosh Chodesh. Why plural? And the Baal Shem Tov says something amazing. He says, because you think Rosh Chodesh just comes once a month? You think new beginnings just come every 30 or 31 days? Roshei Chadoshim La'am Chanasata. I have a secret for you. Any day you want to be Rosh Chodesh, any day you want it to be a new beginning, any day you want to start over, God gives us an unlimited supply of do-overs. God gives us an unlimited supply of Roshei Chadoshim, of beginnings of the month, and that's the beauty of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the ultimate Rosh Chodesh. Hanukkah is the ultimate renewal. Hanukkah is the ultimate second or third, whatever number we're up to since Rosh Hashanah. The umpteenth new beginning, our ability to start over and to rededicate ourselves. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about the mechanics of starting over. Beis Shammai says, if you're going to start again, that's fine, but the foundation has to be perfect. Hillel says, perfection? I can't deal with perfection. The best I could pull out of my yarmulke tonight is 1 candle. The best I could pull out is 1 positive step forward. The best I could promise is that today I'm going to be a little bit better than yesterday. And tomorrow I'm going to be a little bit better than today. That's the only guarantee I can make. Perfection, I can't deliver on 8 candles on the first night. I can give you 1 candle on the first night. I could put in a little bit more effort and give you 2 on the second night. And I could continuously increase. And yes, I'm confident that if I sustain my spiritual growth, I will get to that level of 8 candles. I will. But you know, my friends, something amazing happens, which is, what are we doing tomorrow night? Or does everybody have planned for tomorrow evening? Maybe you'll be eating leftovers. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. We're not lighting anything. Isn't it interesting? A whole build-up to 8 candles. And tomorrow, nothing. Because such is the cycle of life. We burn bright, and then we're extinguished. We have peaks, and we have valleys. No one ever lives on a high, a constant high. Nor does anyone ever have to live consistently in the valley. We have the ability to reinvent and reignite ourselves each and every day. And all we have to do, says Hillel, is light 1 candle. Who do we follow? Who does the halacha follow? So of course, again, I know the cat's out of the bag already, but we know the halacha follows Hillel. And not just in Hanukkah. The halacha follows Hillel in life. You see, my friends, sometimes we think that the mark of Judaic accomplishment is perfection. Sometimes we walk around with this idea that God needs each of us to be righteous, right? That the metric of Judaic success is if Art Scroll is going to write the biography about you. How if Art Scroll should write a biography about all of you? I'm sure. But that's not the metric of success. That's not what the Kodesh Baruch Hu looks for. All God wants to know is one simple thing. Tell me, did you light an additional candle tonight? That's all. I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm not even asking you if you've refrained from doing negative things, because we all sin, we all make mistakes. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us, all God asks of us, is tell me, did you kindle 1 more candle today than you did yesterday? Did you choose to reinvent yourself by infusing just a bit more light in yourself, a bit more light in your home, a bit more light in your world? We hold like Hillel, not just by Hanukkah, but by life. You don't have to start with 8 candles. And I'll tell you what, you don't even have to maintain 8 candles. That's the mark of perfection. Maybe there are some who could do that. Most of us can't do that. All we have to do is ensure that day after day we're lighting a little bit more light. When we put our head on the pillow at the end of the day, I have to ask myself one simple question. Did I create more light today than yesterday? And if the answer to that question is yes, then that is an overwhelmingly successful day. And what's amazing is, when you begin to see this idea, we see this motif in other places of Hanukkah. I'll tell you something that's always bothered me about Hanukkah. And I know this is not the most profound theological issue, but it always bothered me. Dreidel. I'm just going to let it all out today. Dreidel. Right, dreidel. I've always had and it's not because my parents didn't let me play dreidel. Baruch Hashem, they let us play plenty of dreidel. To me, in Judaism, there are 2 core ideas. Number 1, everything has meaning. Number 2, there is no more important resource than time. Time. In fact, if you remember again, in Parashas Bo, in the beginning of the book of Exodus, so when God gives us our first national mitzvah, the first national mitzvah God gives us is Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctification of the new moon. Such a strange mitzvah, such a strange commandment. The majority of the populace are not even involved in that commandment. The majority of the populace don't have a role to play in that commandment. Yet, God teaches us the first thing about the calendar. Why? Rav Sham Shmuel Nofal Hirsch explains so beautifully. Because God was trying to teach us an incredible lesson. That we have control over our time. There are so many things in life we don't control. So many things in life that we can't go ahead and choreograph. I can't make more time, but I absolutely have complete autonomy about how I use the time that I already have. And so I'm going to be honest, dreidel it's always intrigued me, bothered me a little bit even. But always especially intriguing here on a Yom Tov of rededication. We're going in and we're spitting a wooden top. That's what we're doing. That's how we're spending our time. Maybe some psalms. Maybe learn a little bit of Torah. Maybe have beautiful gatherings like this where we create unity and v'yathlo echa kamocha. But spinning wooden tops. That's what we're doing. And I saw a beautiful insight by the great Hasidic master, Rav Moshe Leib of Sassaf. And Rav Moshe Leib says something amazing. He says, "You know what's interesting about the dreidel is how one little flick of the wrist creates so much forward-moving momentum." Meaning, I don't know the DRPM, you know, dreidel revolutions per minute. I don't know how many you get. But one thing is clear, that when you flick that wrist, the number of revolutions for that one little flick of the wrist is quite dramatic and quite amazing. Says Rav Moshe Lev of Sasov, that's the message of the Jew. One little act, one little step, one little candle could create such a dramatic ripple effect. There's a moving story that's told about the Belzer Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. The Rebbe lost virtually his entire family during the Second World War, in the Holocaust. And the Rebbe came to Tel Aviv. He had a brother who was living in Tel Aviv. And this was the first Chanukah after the Rebbe had arrived in the shores of Eretz Yisrael. Lost everything. And amazingly enough, they lit the Neros Chanukah, and right after, the Rebbe started asking for a dreidel. And you know, it was so strange. It was so uncharacteristic. No one ever saw the Rebbe playing dreidel before. But he asked for a dreidel. So, you know, by the Hasidim, when the Rebbe does something, they generally don't ask why. Whatever the Rebbe does, the Rebbe does. But I guess there are some things that just look so strange that even the most ardent Hasidim have to ask why. So someone got up to Chumash and said, Rebbe, excuse me. So they looked around, they finally got him a dreidel, and the Belz Rebbe is literally sitting there at the table spinning the dreidel. So I said, Rebbe, could we ask you why the dreidel? And the Rebbe paused for a moment and he said, you know, I've lost everything. And I know that I have to rebuild. But I don't know how to do it. And I don't know where to start. See, you know what gives me chizuk, you know what gives me strength, says the Rebbe, is the dreidel. Because the dreidel reminds me that one little action, one little flick of the wrist, could create so much forward moving momentum. That even the smallest of actions could have the most dramatic ripple effect. That even the smallest of actions could create so much luminescent holiness. And this, my friends, ultimately, is the message of the menorah, is the message of the dreidel. If Chanukah is the Yom Tov, where we don't just celebrate the historical rededication, you know, it's a very important idea. Jews, we don't just simply celebrate history. We don't celebrate historical events for the purpose of celebrating historical events. Anytime we remember a historical event, it's to glean historical meaning and to infuse our present, or to take that historical lesson, that historical event, and use it to infuse contemporary relevance. So when we celebrate the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, what we're really celebrating is something as defiled as the temple could be rededicated. I can rededicate myself. And how does the process of rededication begin? We hold like Hillel. We hold like the dreidel. One little act at a time. One little flick of the wrist. One little flame, one little action. Because a life that is filled with one little action after the next combines to form a luminescent torch, a luminescent light. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says, and with this I'll conclude, the Shulchan Aruch brings down an interesting halacha. The end of Siddur Tafrei Shayin Zayin. Shulchan Aruch says, Mosar HaShemen, what happens if you have oil left over from the menorah? What happens if you have oil left over? So what do you do with it? The Shulchan Aruch says, you should burn it out. Okay, without getting into the halacha, you'll speak to the Rav about the halachic technicalities of that. You don't necessarily have to do it with oil at home, but you burn it out. You make a madura. You make a fire. You make a fire. But a madura is not just a fire. A madura is like a bonfire. You make a beautiful flame. You know, my friends, the bracha I give all of us is that, Amir Hashem, we should live this Chanukah not just filled with latkes and not just filled with all the sumptuous foods, but we should leave this Yom Tov of Chanukah with leftover oil. The greatest bracha is to have leftover oil. The greatest bracha is to know that you've kindled and kindled and kindled, and there's still more to kindle. That I've lit fire after fire, flame after flame, and there's still more shemen. There's still more oil. I still have more light to give. Each of us has the ability to make such a dramatic difference. Each of us has the ability to reach pinnacles of holiness that we think are beyond our reach. And it doesn't require heroic activity. It doesn't require dramatic actions. It doesn't even require huge acts of self-sacrifice. All it requires is a flick of the wrist. All it requires is a spinning of the dreidel. All it requires is one little flame after one little flame. We should be zocha to light the flames on Hanukkah. We should be privileged in Yeretz Hashem to take the leftover oil with us. We should be privileged to continue to spin the dreidel long after the Yom Tov of Hanukkah has ended. We should be privileged to keep on kindling additional flames, not just during Hanukkah, but even in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. And we should each be privileged in our own way to introduce beautiful, luminescent, and holy light in the world around us. Thank you. Amen.